Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, offering car, home and travel insurance at a great rate. Now that sound.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Now, a year ago, I spoke to Orla Tinsley, writer, Irish Times columnist, cystic fibrosis campaigner, and then dialysis patient. And there's been a big change in Orla's life since we last spoke. Orla, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
Listen, great news. The last time we spoke, you were dependent on dialysis, but you got a kidney transplant in recent months. Tell me what you can about that now.
Yes, I'm so incredibly lucky to have been given the gift of life in the past couple of months, and it has utterly changed my life. I have gone from someone who was on dialysis to someone who no longer needs it, and I'm so incredibly free and I'm so incredibly grateful.
And I know from talking to you before, Orla, you're always cognizant of your donor and their family, and you really want to encourage other people to sign up for organ donation, don't you?
I do, yes. I mean, my donor is my hero to me, and they're always in my heart. I wouldn't be speaking to you, and I wouldn't have the freedom I have now without two very special people who decided that their last wish would be that they would become organ donors. And I think it's just the ultimate legacy that someone can leave, and I'm so grateful to those people. And I think it's so important that people consider being organ donors. And in regards to kidney transplants, which is obviously what I received, the importance of living donors is something that is only really being emphasized more in Ireland now. And it really is something that a family member or a close friend or even someone you don't know can do to take someone off of dialysis and change their lives forever. So, I think people considering donation, whether it's living or whether it's when they've finished life and want to give the gift of life, is just so important.
And do you feel, Orla, that when you wake up now in the morning, you really have a new life, that you have been given this gift of a new life?
Miriam, first of all, I wake up at 6 o'clock every morning, and I actually get up at 6 o'clock. and before this dialysis, which basically I've banned the word dialysis from my life now. I just don't even use it. But I'm using it for the purpose of this. And it really stole an awful lot from me. As positive as I was, as strong as I am, it's so brutal, and it stole a lot from me. So I wouldn't have been getting up at 6 a.m. Some days I'd have loads of energy. Other days I just didn't have enough to, I had enough to just about function through the day. I mean, it was, as someone who's had a lot of illnesses and who previously had a double lung transplant, I was surprised that it was the hardest thing that I'd gone through in my 37 years on earth. And so now to be free of that and to have the energy, it's not just physical energy, which I felt immediately when I woke up, Miriam. I mean, even in the ICU, my physical self had been changed and I could feel the energy I didn't have. But this isn't just about physical energy. It's also mental energy, like the capacity to sit down and read a whole book as opposed to a shorter, amount, or just like to be able to go for a walk, and also, okay, to be able to eat whatever you like. Oh my God, don't even start me. It's incredible. Like, simple things that previously you just have, like, in order to survive, you have to accept, okay, I just can't do this thing. Let me find a way through this and to get, hopefully, to where I am now, the other side, but there's no guarantee of that. But I'm just so incredibly grateful to my transplant team at Beaumont, especially my surgeon and the IOR guys and everyone who looked after me on the transplant ward, and my teams looking after me to get me to that point, because it really takes a village,
And does it, with this new energy and the time now, do you start planning more, dreaming more, things you'll be doing in, years to come?
Oh my gosh, 100%. I mean, it's funny because one of the things that my work as a campaigner is about trying to create change in different areas, particularly the health service. And that work, I think, is my life's work. I think it's really important that we all do whatever we can, right, to try and change things for the better, regardless of what area it's in. But sometimes it can be, it's grueling, you know, it's not necessarily always full of joy. And what happens after a transplant, as I've experienced from both a double lung transplant and this, is that there's just this immeasurable amount of joy, you know, that you're filled with this energy and this positivity. And so I've been writing a lot of, I think they're children's poems, trying to capture joy, because it's so, it's just the most incredible feeling. And I think it's so valuable that we remember it. It's impossible to feel it all the time, but if we can, you know, read something that captures it or that reminds us of it, and try to let it in as much as possible, I think it's transformative, you know.
And also, it must be so joyful for your family, for your mom, for everyone, I suppose, who worries about you a lot, or never wants to say it too much, but do worry about you.
Yeah, my mom has been going through a lot herself with some health battles, and she told me that this, when I got the call and I called her, she said it was the greatest thing that she'd heard in so long. And that was so moving, like, you know. So I'm really, like, as much as it has utterly changed my life, I'm so grateful that it also has an effect of changing the lives of my family and the people around me who love me. And I think that's something that maybe is not always talked about, that, like, in order to get through this stuff, you have to have a really strong support group, which is not just family but friends. I have incredible friends who I definitely wouldn't be here without, because, you know, I'm sure you know this yourself, it's your family and your friends that keep you going through the darkest of times, you know, that enable you then to celebrate in the light and in the joy of things. And so I'm so grateful for them and for my family. And so when the gift of life happens, it doesn't just affect the person, but it has a knock-on effect to the whole community.
And the amazing thing about you, Orla, I've been lucky enough to be interviewing you for a long time, and you've had these tough health battles, but they've never, ever made you a bitter person. I mean, do you ever think, why me? You never seem to think like that.
I really don't. I find that that's really not constructive, but I do understand how it happens. I mean, I can understand it's human to ask that question, but instead of asking, you know, why me, it's like if you say why too many times, you kind of end up in this downward spiral, and it's, you can't really, it's harder to escape. But I like to ask how, you know, how do I get out of this? How, you know, how can I change this system, this systemic issue that's happening right now? You know, not that I can change things on my own, but, you know, like the piece I wrote in the Irish Times that was published this week was celebrating the gift of life, but also suggesting here are some small things that could be implemented tomorrow within the dialysis system in Ireland that would utterly change the way things are done. Like, even simple things that, you know, I think affects the whole health system, really, in regards to the fact that we have physical charts and digital charts for patients. But because our digital chart system hasn't been invested in properly, you know, when you come to dialysis, it turns out that you have this big chart of your history. You have a 2-page A4 chart printed out each dialysis session. And then you have this digital chart, and they can't talk to each other. So, like, what was happening to me prior to my life-saving transplant was I had been given the wrong drug a couple of times. And this was because of the lack of ability for charts to be updated properly, you know. So, and it's just, it's a disservice to not just the people seeking care who are extremely vulnerable, but also to the nurses and staff who are working and trying to do their best. You know, if they're reading off of a piece of paper that they think in good faith is the right information. So there's just things like that, like simple things like color coding charts, you know, like in the dialysis centers particularly, because it's like black text on white pages. And, you know, if people are very busy, it's very difficult to absorb everything. Something as simple as, you know, color coding, you know, this is the type of dressing you use for this patient, this is the previous transplant they've had, that can be seen clearly instantly. I know that sounds so, it almost sounds like it couldn't possibly be that this doesn't already exist, but it doesn't, you know, and it could. It could be done in the next couple of days, and it would change the outcomes for a lot of people.
Well, hopefully it will change. I can't let you go without congratulating you. This week you also got news of a bursary, didn't you? A literary one.
Yes, I'm so honoured, really, and shocked to receive the Arts Council Literature Bursary Award. I really feel a kind of a sense of kismet. It's such an incredible honour and I'm so grateful, but also it's an incredible time to receive it while I'm recovering. It's really it will allow me to focus on my creative work, which I now have the energy to do. So I feel like the luckiest person in the world, really.
Well, Orla, you so deserve to be the luckiest person in the world. Thanks so much for chatting to me this morning. I wish you continued good health. And listen, anyone can find out more about organ donation on the Irish Kidney Association website, which is ika.ie. Well, that's